Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. Time. It is something we are all aware of, but how much time do we spend thinking about and considering our time? You know, time is a precious, precious commodity. You cannot put a value on time. You can't buy time. You can't beg, borrow, or steal it either. We spend a lot of it. And a lot of that we use very unwisely. And we act as if we have all of the time in the world, as if it is an unlimited supply that will never end. It ticks away, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. We can't stop it. It continues to be used up. But we do have choice over where it goes. We can choose where, who, and what we spend our time on. You know, most people never sit down and have an accounting of their time and where it goes. You know, in 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, it all adds up over the course of 24 hours. And there are all these little things that crowd in that eat up our time that we don't account for. And then we get to the end of the day and we wonder, where did our time go? You know, lost time can never be reclaimed. And all of those hours and days and months and years that we spend so freely are gone. We cannot exchange them. We can't get a refund, and we can't get a loan. You know, each of us has a certain amount of time to live in this world, a certain amount of time to be on this earth. And each of us has a timeline. And there are events that happen on our timeline. And we have a definite beginning and a definite end. You know, our time is finite. It has an ending point. And none of us never really know when that is, do we? Unexpected things happen all of the time. Yet we never think about that. We just go on each and every day, thinking the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and we're already planning what we're going to do the next day with never any thought about time could end. John 9, verse 1. John 9, verse 1. And passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his taught ones asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Yehoshua answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of Elohim might be made manifest in him. It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world. Our Messiah had a certain amount of time given to him to accomplish what he needed to do. What if he had wasted that time? Where would we be? And what about this man that he encounters that's blind? What about his timeline? You know, he was there so that Yeshua could heal him, so that the works of Elohim might be made manifest in him. Might be an example, might be for everyone to see. That was on that man's timeline. And Yeshua had a timeline. He knew he had a certain amount of time to accomplish the things he needed to do, and he understood the importance of time. And that is a very interesting thing to think about in itself. Because Yeshua came down from the dwelling place of Elohim, where there is no time. Time does not exist where Elohim dwells. Time is a physical thing in place in this world. Yet he is the creator of time, and he is very aware of the importance of time to this world. Luke 2, verse 43. Luke 2, verse 43. When they had accomplished the days, as they returned, the child Yehoshua stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking he was in the company, they went a day's journey and were seeking him among the relatives and friends. And not having found him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to be after 3 days that they found him in the set-apart place, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And having seen him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? See, your father and I have been anxiously seeking you. And he said to them, Why were you seeking me? Did you not know that I had to be in the matters of my father? He knew his purpose, and he knew what had to be accomplished, and he knew he only had a certain amount of time to get those things done. You know, we should stop and consider this. We don't know how much time we have to accomplish the things that we need to get done, do we? You know, what if our end comes tomorrow? How often do you consider how much time you have? If we could fast forward to the end of our lives and look back, what would we do differently? How would we order our priorities? And what would we be spending our time on? You know, our consideration of time should change drastically once we begin walking in Yahweh's Torah, because we understand that we have to live set apart to Him. And we need to be about accomplishing that, right? That should be our focus. Living set apart, guarding His word, guarding His commands, and being the people that He wants us to be. That takes an investment in time, right? We have to learn and we have to walk in the way. And sometimes that takes a very, you know, focused approach to get ourselves where we need to be, to change things we've been doing, to turn around from living our lives our way and spending our time selfishly on ourselves and beginning to spend our time on Him. You know, we should seek to know as much about Him as we can, because He is our Abba and we want to be pleasing to Him. You know, the older you get, the more you start to appreciate and value time. And there are things you begin to give up on because you realize there is not enough time. And you start to be more aware of how you spend your time and what you use your time on. You know, we've all been in circumstances, right, or situations where it seemed like time just crawled. I can remember being in high school, you know, in classes I didn't really care for. And I remember sitting there at my desk looking at the clock, and it seemed like it took forever for those seconds to tick off. Or there's been some places where I've been employed that were just, you know, where time moved just as slow. It was almost torturous. But then you have those other times where you're doing something really enjoyable, something that's really nice, and that time just zips by, doesn't it? It's like the clock is just moving in, you know, double time or quadruple time. You know, we need to appreciate the value of time and how we use it. I think it's, you know, a responsibility Abba puts on us, how we use our time. And that's why He has given us a certain amount of time here. You know, we can't just keep going on and on and on. You know, we are easily diverted and things catch our eye. And there are things that interest us and cause us to become distracted. And there are things that begin to consume all of our time. You know, all of us are capable of being obsessive about something. And we end up spending a lot of precious time chasing things. You know, for most people, your values change drastically from the time you were a teen, and then early adulthood, and then midlife. And then by the time you're hitting retirement age, you know, your values continue to evolve and change. And the things that once were really important to you become not so important. Knowledge can become another user of our time. You know, how much knowledge do we need and how much is enough? There are believers who waste a lot of precious time on foolish doctrines. You know, how much time do people spend chasing things that have absolutely nothing to do with their salvation or in deepening their relationship with Abba? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, let me try you with rejoicing and find out what is good. But see, that too was futile. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of rejoicing, what does it do? I searched in my heart how to stimulate my body with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, until I could see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heavens all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made pools of water for myself to water from them a plantation of growing trees. I bought male and female servants, and I came to have sons of the household. Also, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of sovereigns and of the provinces. I provided male and female singers for myself and the pleasures of men, a woman and women. Thus I became great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and all that my eyes desired I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion from all my labor. But when I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, see, all was futile, and feeding on wind, and there was no gain under the sun. We spend time on work and laboring, but what are we working towards? What is the end game? What is the goal? What is the purpose? Is it about stuff? Is it about a certain house, a certain vehicle, a certain neighborhood? Is it about us, or is there something bigger? Works are meant to sustain and preserve life, not to take away and prevent us from living the life that Yahweh wants us to live. The works of this world steal our time. They rob from us. They take from us the most valuable thing we have, our time. Now, we enslave ourselves with our works. We become obligated to things, and before we know it, those things own us, and they control us. How much time do we spend on our things? Our lives begin to revolve around those things. And instead of being set free, we become enslaved. And before we become free again, we run out of time. Luke 12, verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. He then spoke a parable to them, saying, the land of a certain rich man yielded well. And he was reasoning within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to store my crops. And he said, I'm going to do this. Pull down my storehouses and build greater, and store all my crops and my goods there. Then say to myself, life, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, rejoice. But Elohim said to him, you mindless one, this night your life shall be demanded from you. And who shall own what you have prepared? So is he who is storing up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Elohim. You know, if your life is demanded of you this very night, where would you have rather that your time had been spent? Building up things in this world or storing up your treasure in the kingdom? You know, Solomon, we just read there in Ecclesiastes, he did all of these things for himself and he justified it, right? This is my reward for the labor I have done. What good is all that stuff? It's all physical things, all material things. Our treasure is the kingdom. And why would we not be building there? Why would we not be spending our time accumulating things in the kingdom? Right? We can't see them and touch them exactly in this physical life, but we know they're there. And we know Messiah is preparing a place for us. That is where we want to be spending our time. You know, we are told that we will be accountable for every idle word. We need to think about that. Because how many words do we waste on things? You know, we're all really good about complaining, aren't we? And whining and fixing all of the problems. You know, we always know exactly what should be done. Are those words accomplishing anything? You know, if we're held accountable for every idle word, how much more for every idle moment? We need to remind ourselves. And it doesn't mean that we can't have fun and do things that are enjoyable, but it means we need to take all of that into account, don't we? You know, how much more accountable are we for the hours in front of the TV or the computer or the tablet or the phone or social media or the news? How much more? And what are we going to have to say for ourselves? Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Brood of adders, how are you able to speak what is good, being wicked? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. The good man brings forth what is good from the good treasures of his heart, and the wicked man brings forth what is wicked from the wicked treasure. And I say to you, for every idle word men speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be declared righteous, and by your words you shall be declared unrighteous. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? One day we will not be bound by time. But for now, time is a huge factor in our lives. And time can be a friend or an enemy. Five virgins were ready when the bridegroom came. They had prepared, they had made ready, and they had used their time wisely. Matthew 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the reign of the heavens shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish, having taken their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom took time, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "See, the bridegroom is coming! Go out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, indeed. There would not be enough for us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. And later the other maidens also came, saying, "Master, Master, open for us." But he answering said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, because you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Adam is coming." Five virgins were not prepared and ready, and they had to go get what they were lacking. It cost them time. When they returned, it was too late. You know, what had they spent their time doing while the five wise ones were getting what they needed ahead of time? They used their time wisely. They prepared. They made ready. How will each of us look back on what we did with our time? You know, we are always waiting for the right timing to do this or to do that. When is the time ever right? We put things off, we talk, we procrastinate, we stall. Why? We've all done it. Some of us still do it. And why? We need to think about the urgency of what we are doing. We need to think about preparing for the bridegroom. And we need to start taking it seriously. Taking inventory of what we're doing and what we're spending our time on. Why do we not seize the moment and act with boldness? What holds us back? We make plans, we set goals, and then we stay a course no matter what we have to endure. Yeshua talked about this, about counting the cost, and about not looking back once you have set your hand to the plow. We persevere, we stand, and we go the distance. It takes focused effort, and it takes an investment in time. You know, we need to think about what we agreed to. You know, we committed ourselves to obey him and guard his commands. And we need to be about the things he has for us to do. You know, why do some people turn around and go back the other way? Why do they stop moving forward? because they want their time for themselves. They want to spend their time on the things they want to do. You know, we have to have the vision of the kingdom and what's waiting for us there. What we have now, what we have in this physical life, is not worth trading our eternity for. You know, we're going to look back on this and it's going to be like the blink of an eye. You know, when you live in and dwell in a place where time is not a factor, nothing is even measured by time, we will look back on this period of time we had here and think, wow, it was nothing. You know, is there anything in this world that matters more than being in the kingdom with our Elohim and taking part in everything that he has there for us? Psalm 90, verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. Yahweh, you have been our refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you had brought forth the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are El. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed, or like a watch in the night. You have swept them away. They are as a sleep, like grass that springs up in the morning. At evening it is cut down and withered. For we have been consumed by your displeasure, and by your wrath we are alarmed. You have set our crookednesses before you, our secret sin in the light of your face. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We spend our years like a whisper. The days of our lives are 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet the best of them is but toil and exertion. Word is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your displeasure and your wrath according to the fear of you? Teach us to number our days and let us bring the heart to wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long? And be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your kindness and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants and your splendor to their children, and let the pleasantness of Yahweh our Elohim be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. Oh, confirm the work of our hands. Confirmation. You know, we all like to receive confirmation. Confirmation that we have not spent our time in vain. Confirmation that we have not squandered and wasted the precious and valuable time that we are given. Confirmation that we have invested our time wisely. Confirmation that we will see the greatest work ahead of us and that we have used our time and our labor according to His will. Because that is what matters. We can spend our time on ourselves. We can be selfish. We can be self-centered. Or we can look past our own selves and seek Yahweh and His will and spend our time doing the things he has for us to do. Revelation 22, verse 10. Revelation 22, verse 10. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. He who does wrong, let him do more wrong. He who is filthy, let him be more filthy. He who is righteous, let him be more righteous. He who is set apart, let him be more set apart. And see, I am coming speedily, and my reward is with me, to give to each according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life, and to enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, and those who enchant with drugs, and those who whore, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all who love and do falsehood. I, Yehoshua, have sent my messenger to witness to you these matters in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And he who hears, let him say, 'Come.' And he who thirsts, come. And he who desires it, take the water of life without paying." Now, Yeshua is the beginning and the end of time. You know, this world has a timeline. Each of us have a timeline. Even Yahweh's appointed times and the events that happen in the timeline of this world, everything has an appointment and a place and a time. And we need to value our time and how we use it and what we use it on. How will we ever be able to stand before our Abba and justify the time we have wasted? We won't, even if he were to give us all the time we needed. Amen.
Yivarekeka Yahweh, Vayishmareka. Ya'er Yahweh panav eleka, vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panav eleka, v'yashem laha. Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by Ha Emet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about Ha Emet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.